when we say that we want to bring something that's of worth to the Lord. What is one man's trash could be another man's treasure. That's true of the Lord. When we look at our own lives and when we look at our own past and we look at who we are, sometimes we think of trash. Oh my gosh. How in the world could anybody want me or the thing that I am? But God says, that's my treasure. You are the worth. You're so worth my son dying on a cross for. You are the worth. So when you sing, I desire to bring something of worth, what you're actually saying is, bring yourself to the altar. I come to bring me. It is me that I'm putting before the altar. It's not my money. It's not my children. It's not my wife. It's me. It's me, Lord. I give myself. I sacrifice myself. I take up your cross, God. And I am the offering. And so, Father, I pray right now that as I bring me, that is sufficient. It is enough. It is enough, God. For your word says, that's all I've ever asked. That's all I've ever asked is that you bring you to the table. It's what I asked my son to die on the cross for. It's what I want to fill with power. It's what I want to fill with my spirit. It's you. We worship him today. We worship him in spirit, the very spirit that he dwells within us. But we also worship him in truth. We worship him in the truth that of who we really are. We hide nothing. We hide nothing of who we are, God. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is it, God. And you receive it all. And you say, it's okay. I'll clean it up. But I love it all. And I will move in your life. And I will put my shield on you. I will put my armor on you. And I will make you what I've designed for you to be, even from the beginning. That's the something of worth that we're bringing to the altar. How do we worship him? How do we worship him daily? By doing that very thing. Putting ourselves on the altar for him to mold us, guide us, lead us, move in our lives. Worshiping him is following his instructions. Donna, you had something you wanted to say. I think right now is a good time.
You know, God has been good to me and my family. Something was placed on my heart yesterday. I've been through a lot this past week, Monday, at MD Anderson. But, you know, God got me through it. Guys, social media is so dangerous. So dangerous. I read something. A parent very upset about things to me. They matter to kids, but what do we instill in our kids? And to post something like that, that would, I don't even believe that the son even knew his father was doing it or had done it. But, you know, once you put it out there on the internet, it's out there. And it doesn't, it's sometimes hard to go away. Even if you take it away, I'm sure somebody's, they do a picture of it, and then they send it, and it goes viral. I'm worried about our youth. I'm very worried. So worried that this young man has to walk the hallways tomorrow. He has to go to practice tomorrow. The peer pressure that has just been placed on him, in my opinion, by his parents. Suicide is so rampant. Little things like this is what causes
kids to do the things that they do, and not knowing that the pressure that they're under can make them buckle. And instead of praying for situations, we don't need to criticize them.
Right.
We need to put our arms around our youth. I thought about this, and I thought about it, and I look where I go to get treatment. It's like a big horseshoe of everybody hooked up to machines of some sort. And usually, you know, the children, probably up to the age of 10, go to facilities that are made just for kids. But you have 15 and 16-year-olds who are in there with us old folks. And I look and I see them and they're going through what they're going through, treatment, not knowing how long they're going to have, not knowing how long or if they get to graduate from high school. My heart goes out to them. I've lived 58 years and they've only lived 15. You know, things are used. I don't know, it's just on my heart. Sickness, suicide, ear pressure, bullying, it's big. And don't think it's not right here in Crane, guys, it is. I asked Arthur if I could just say these few things, and that's all I wanted to say. Y'all, we need to wrap our arms around my youth. And what Arthur and Eric is doing is great. I wish that more could come in. And when I was growing up, there was a saying, let each one bring one. And maybe if you guys who are going to the youth group with Arthur and Eric, bring somebody, bring one of your friends, bring one of your teammates, bring somebody in to, you know, you never know. Something may be said to reach that individual or some child. You may be saving a friend's life. My hope and my prayer is that his teammates and his coaches and teachers and friends will wrap their arms around him, because it's going to be rough for this child tomorrow. And I know it is. And I'm asking for our church to pray for our youth in our community, not just here. Pray for our youth. Pray for the youth at MD Anderson. Pray for the youth at Children's Hospital. Pray for them, guys, because, you know, it's rough. And then pray for their parents. Pray for the parents to understand some things are best left unsafe. And if you have issues with it, go to the man who can help you with it. And that's the Almighty God. Fall on your knees and just pray. I've learned so much in the past few years. And I'm that crazy person in the stand that I yell and go on, but I'm that same kind of crazy person.
Amen.
You know, so I just ask that we pray for each and every one of our needs.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come right now. And Father, you know who she's talking about.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray your angels to be about that individual, God.
Yes.
You say you have assigned an angel to every child that's alive, God.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray that angel would kick in and do his bidding and do his job, God.
Yes.
And we pray, Father, right now that you would intercede right now on that individual's life, God.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, that the intercessions that you have kids that are intercessors in Jesus' name, that would cover him in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you would bring those intercessors in at the right time to pray for him, but, Father, to cover him. And so, Father, I pray right now that you show yourself mighty and redeem, God, what has been put out there, and that, Father, no harm would come to this individual. No harm would come to him, and no weapon formed against him would prosper.
Yes.
And that, Father, whatever Satan would mean for evil, you would turn to good.
Yes.
And that, Father, I thank you, Lord, that this has been sought as an opportunity instead of an opportunity for evil. It will be an opportunity for good.
Yes.
And so, Lord, I call him into the kingdom.
Yes.
I call him into the place where he can be saved. Not just his life, but his soul, God.
Yes.
That he may have an encounter with you, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray that.
Yes.
Lord, do your work and do your bidding,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we're looking to you.
Yes.
We're looking to what you can do, God. Yes. It's far more than what our human hands can do, what our human words can do,
yes.
But you speak the words of life.
Yes.
And so, Father, we speak the amen, the so be it, as you have said it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
He's getting them out.
Do we just throw these away?
Let's use this. Is this going to come out here? And,
oh, yeah,
okay. I just want to exhort you and share with you an experience that I've had this week. I think that it's pretty fitting with what we just sang and with what Don's talking about. We have lived in Crane for a very long time. And throughout these years, I've always battled with my family back in Indiana. There were 7 kids in my family and mom and dad, and I'm the only one that doesn't live there. And it was always hard for me because they wouldn't come out here. It was like, why don't you want to come to see me? And I always battled with that. We were the ones that always had to make the trip. And the excuse was, well, you get to see everybody when you come here because we're all here. And so for years I battled with, but we're the ones that having to spend all the money that we don't have to come see you. And I battled and I battled and I battled. And then this year, after being part of that mass shooting in Odessa, they called me and they were like, oh my gosh, are you guys okay? And all of this. And I think it really did something to my sisters. Just the thought, you know. Well, so two of my sisters decided they were going to come for Thanksgiving this year. And I was like, hey, oh my gosh, we'll see. Because I had that, oh, okay, we'll see if this happens, because it hasn't happened. And then, yes, they're going to come. And then yesterday, no, they're not going to come. And so I battled with that, and I went, okay. Because I really got my hope up that they were going to come. And Arthur and I were talking one night, and I knew God was working. I just knew he was working on me. And so when we just sang that song about I'll bring you more than a song, and how we are worth it, that's what came out. The Lord really revealed to me what my issue was. It really wasn't them not coming or the money we had spent or feeling like we were always making the sacrifice. What the Lord revealed to me, my real issue was believing to them I wasn't enough. I wasn't enough for them to make that trip. I wasn't enough. I mean, my brothers have gone to Houston. I have a brother who goes to Houston every year to see his buddy that was in Vietnam with him. And I had another brother who went to El Paso to see a gymnasium for something. I don't know. But he's a real basketball buff. And he made it to El Paso. And the same brother that goes to Houston goes to Lubbock for his wood stove convention things. I'm like, do you know how close Lubbock is to Crane? It's a lot closer than Houston. But what the Lord really revealed to me was that's what came out. Sharon, you're feeling like you're not enough for them to actually make the effort. I can't tell you how freeing that was for me to figure out that's what my issue was all this time, that I wasn't enough. And so yesterday when my sister called and said that it wasn't going to work out for them to come at Thanksgiving, it was like, well, okay. And I told Arthur and I said, I'm okay with that. Because it really wasn't that. It was what I was dealing with. The real issue that I was dealing with was believing that I wasn't enough. So we're singing that song this morning. And, well, last night I just felt so compelled to go into my office, and I usually go in there and I pull up worship music on the computer and I'm in there worshiping, and then I felt the Lord. Tom, if you could put up Psalm 24. I felt really impressed to go to Psalm 24. And I'm worshiping, I'm like, Psalm 24? You mean 23. That's the one we're all familiar with. I'm like, what is Psalm 24? So I went to Psalm 24, and wow. It's really good. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the currents and the rivers. Who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And that at that moment it was like, who can do that? Who's able to do that? Who's worthy enough to do that? Verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted himself up to falsehood or to what is false, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And at that moment, one of my favorite phrases in the word really shouted at me. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. Go back to verse 4, Tom. This is the one who can go up to the mountain of the Lord. This is the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. And that's you, because why? The blood made you that way. The blood of Christ made you that way. I am enough. Amen. Enough. Amen. We are enough. This kid is enough. Yes. These children are enough. Yes. The Lord said, you are enough for him. For him. Go to verse 5. We shall receive blessing from the Lord. We, say I shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of my salvation. I shall. These kids you're talking about, Donna, need to hear that. They need to hear, behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. This that you're going through is temporary. And it truly is for your betterment. It will make you. It will. All of these years. And I finally listened to the Lord to tell me what my real problem was. Believing a lie that I wasn't enough. Which I believed about a lot of other things in my life. But this was a real issue for me. And he freed me from it. I get to go to the mountain of the Lord. I get to be in his presence. These kids don't know that. There are people out there who do not know that. So it's up to us to take that message. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. And the word then continues, which shall be for all people. All people. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, that message is for you. All people. All people. Go on to 6, Tom. This is the generation of those who seek him, who inquire of and for him, and of necessity require him, who seek your face, the God of Jacob. I am that generation. You are that generation. We are seeking him. It's not this young one's generation. We're still a part of this generation. We are still seeking him. We still have a mission on the earth. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. They're starting out their walk. We should be seasoned in ours. We should have some wisdom by now that they need. We should be shouting that we are the generation. As long as I'm alive, I will always be a part of that generation. Go on, Tom. So lift up your heads, because behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. If you are like this, you should be like this. Behold, lift up your heads, O gates. What is a gate? What's a gate? It's easy to go through a gate. It's hard to go over a fence. We are gates for these people to get to know Christ. We are the gates. You age-abiding doors. That's me. I'm seasoned. I am a door. I am a door for you to know Christ. Come through me and I can share you with you those things that I know about him and have learned and have experienced in my walk with him. I have much to say. Much to say. The King of glory may come in. The King of glory may come in. We need to let the King of glory come in every Sunday morning. Like this morning, I'm praying. When I feel this heaviness, one thing I start praying is, Lord, check their hearts. Because you have the Spirit living in you. And if it's missing, it's because you didn't bring it in here. He doesn't just live out here in this atmosphere. He's in you. You received that gift when you accepted him. So if it's dim, check yourself. Check yourself. If my spirit is dim, check myself. He wants to live here. He wants to abide here. He's not the one trying to stay out. We got to bring him in to this place. Keep going, Tom. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. That is the King of glory. The Lord who is strong and mighty in battle, Donna. Because right now he's battling for that kid. He is. And he's preparing that way for that kid. He's going to be all about him tomorrow at that school. You keep praying that and you keep believing that and he's going to be there. He is moved by our faith. He absolutely will. He is moving and moving his people now. Right now as we're asking to. He is moving those ministering spirits to be about that kid. Absolutely. Keep going, Tom. So lift up your heads, O you gates. Yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. The last verse. Who is he then, this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Think about that. Think about that. Today, think about that. You get to go to the mountain of the Lord. Where else would you rather be than at the mountain of the Lord? You get to go in there. Jesus gave us access to the holy place. We get to actually go to the holy place. We are kings and priests. We get to go there now because Jesus made it possible for us. The only thing that can keep us out of there is us. Us. Because we don't believe we have access. Because we don't believe we're worthy. He said we were. You are worthy. As Arthur said, he said you were because he sent his son. Why would any of us ever send a child for somebody that we didn't think was worthy of it? Let alone sacrifice them for them. He deemed us worthy enough. He did. Not our actions, not even our obedience. He said we were. While we were sinners, he sent his son. While we were sinners. Not when we've been perfected, but while we were sinners, we were enough for him to send his son for us. So tell those kids. Tell those kids. Let them know they're enough. They're enough. And once they know Jesus, I promise you, suicide may come to attack them, but it will not have victory. It will not. When they know who they are in Christ, it will not happen. I will never again battle with being enough for my family. I won't have to battle that anymore. I felt freedom yesterday. I felt such a breakthrough yesterday. So if you got battles that you've been battling with for almost 30 years, breakthrough can come. It can come. Be listening, because it can come.
You see, I come up here empty-handed. I'm smarter than I look. I just think that's very timely. You know, that Donna's heart, Sharon's exhortation. There's no need for me to say, now let's teach something. Let that just permeate your hearts and let the Holy Spirit lead you as He will. In your own life, in your own place, what you're struggling with or not, like Sharon was, and then concerning the young people around us, Something just, as I said that, occurred to me. This person is young in age, but be concerned also about the young in spirit. Whether they're, they may be older than you'd expect them to be in age, but those with feeble knees. All the needs around us, Hebrews talked about that. Okay, so we're going to have to wait until next week for my take on the propitiation. Yeah, 2 weeks from now, Christ being the propitiation. Everybody loves that word. And anyway, did you have something to finish up with? Now I was closing it down, Arthur.
and we still are.
Okay.
Something that Tom said, which is actually part of the word, that he said that when the word is preached, there should be signs following, and so. What I believe God's heart is if there was not only just an encouragement, there was a charge, and that charge is that you have eyes to see, and that you have eyes to see where there is need, and that you be bold enough to go and speak or pray or whatever you need to do in that particular situation, and even for yourself, maybe where you say, "I'm not enough in this certain situation." Sharon just testified about her own situation where she felt she wasn't enough for her family, and she's testified before about where she felt she wasn't enough for her job. She didn't have the credentials that she had to take the job that they offered her. "I'm not enough." And she had to get over that. Well, once again, God's trying to tell her, "You are enough." And so, I just feel like signs following would be if you have that and you want prayer, then I think the thing to do is have Sharon just pray over you. I think that's just the logical conclusion, the spiritual conclusion of this thing, And so if Jimmy, if you started off this morning with that, just playing softly, if you would do that now. Yes. Not that we are fit, qualified, or sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgments or to claim or count anything as coming from us, but our power and ability and sufficiency are from God. Well, thank you, Tom. I mean, that is awesome. That is awesome, God. Everything points toward the Lord, right? Everything points toward the Lord. And, once again, it's a perfect scripture for a perfect time. And so, Sharon, if you just come up. And if anyone would desire prayer, she would just lay hands on you and just pray for your need. Just make me enough for the issues at hand. If this spoke to you, then let it be as you have said. And so, we're gonna open that up, and I'm gonna be here first.